Your Bibles, we're going to be turning to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. And we're going to be starting in verse 1. We're going to read through the most of the chapter. Not all of it, but most of it. Actually, about half of it. Joshua 24. And starting in verse 1, it says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterwards I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hevites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even to two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, he is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that ye have done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto you, unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, and every man unto his inheritance. And then he goes on to tell us that Joshua is the death of Joshua. But what we're looking at tonight is just as Joshua was posing to the children of Israel, there was a choice that had to be made. There's a choice that God wants us to make, whether we're going to choose to serve him or to serve other gods. We're going to turn to a couple of passages here, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18 and verse 19. Genesis 18, verse 19. This is after the Lord was come to meet with Abraham and talked about the birth of the child a year later. God promised that Abraham a child, which was Isaac. And Sarah laughed. But then we come down. She denied it, saying, I laugh not, for she was, and that's verse 15, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. So there was three men that came to meet with Abraham. Two of them went off to Sodom, which we believe were angels. And the third person was God, the incarnate Christ. We see there in verse 16, it says, And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? And seeing that Abraham shall surely become a... And this is what they said about Abraham. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. See, Abraham was one that feared God, and is one that trusted God, and it says that he's going to raise his children up, and that's exactly what Abraham did. He made a choice and served God. He made a choice to move forward. And then we see in Psalm 101, Psalm 101, Psalm 101 and verse 2, it says, I will behave myself, why, this is a Psalm of David, Verse 2, it says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person. And then we see there's some other examples that we want to take a look at just briefly. Exodus chapter 32, going back again, backwards. Exodus chapter 32, we just want you to see these things. 32 and verse 26. And this is where Moses was standing at the gate. It says in verse 26, it says, Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and they fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Who is on the Lord's side? This is the question that Moses posed. But then we see in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Just want to look at a few different passages. Chapter 30 and verse 19. Give you a moment to turn there. This is... Verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Again, there was a choice that had to be made here, isn't there? He says, choose life. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. And then we see there in 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah was standing before the prophets of Baal. Chapter 18 of 1 Kings, verse 21. And he asked a question. It says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And we know the story, if we were to go further down, where they cried all day. They started cutting themselves and doing all kinds of different kinds of things, trying to get Baal to answer their request. Because Baal is not a true God, he was just a statue. He couldn't answer the request. But because God is God, not only did he burn up the sacrifice, but Elijah poured water on it, I believe, three times and doused it down. And you know how hard it is to start something that's been doused in water, how hard it is to start. But God, it says that in verse 38, it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the Lord, the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And before that, 3.5 years before this, Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. And now it's going to rain. But it says that he burnt up everything and he licked up the water that was in the trench. Because he's God. Okay? But then we go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We got a couple places in the New Testament just to show you here, and then we're going to get on. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Actually, we can read 17 through verse 22 because it tells us the whole passage here. It says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. See, this man had to make a choice. See, we all have choices to make in each day of our lives. But this man chose his riches over living for God. He had a choice. Then we got John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 60. It says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And he was just talking to him about drinking his blood and eating his flesh. And he wasn't talking about literally doing it. But he told him that. And he says that in verse 57, as living the Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, and even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna or are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He was talking about accepting him as their Lord and Savior. But see, many therefore, in verse 60, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. We know who betrayed him. It was Judas Iscariot. But there were many disciples that were following him that didn't follow him anymore. It says, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They chose not to follow anymore because they really weren't true disciples. It talks about in the Old Testament or New Testament further back, they went out from us because they were not of us. And in verse 67, it says, then said Jesus unto the 12. Everybody's deserted him but the 12. Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That day the disciples had to make a choice, whether to continue to follow Christ or to turn away like the rest of them did. The Bible's filled with those who have made right choices and those who have made wrong choices. See, life is filled with choices throughout each day. We make our choices based off our character, the influences we allow in our lives through the eye gate or through the ear gate. That's how we decide. And in Sunday school this morning, I was dealing with character, our Christian character. And based off our beliefs, based on what we see, how we see who God is or see who he is, that determines how we live our life. And see, God made man free, a free moral agent to choose right or wrong. But one thing we have no control over is what? The consequences. We can make our choices. But God has He takes care of the consequences. Because if we took care of our own consequences, we wouldn't have consequences, would we? We wouldn't want them. But that's left up to the Lord. But right choices bring blessings. Wrong choices bring consequences. Now, actually, they all bring consequences. If we make right choices, there's good consequences. And if we make bad choices, there's bad consequences. So what do I mean by this? When we got saved, there was a battle going on between our flesh and our spirit. Just because God forgives doesn't mean the consequences just fall away. Somebody can go out and murder somebody. Somebody can bring the gospel to that person and they can get saved. But that doesn't mean the consequences for their actions go away, because there's natural consequences that God has put in place. Because if there was no consequence, then man would be lawless. He would do whatever he wanted to do. Is that not correct? If there's not rules, if there's not a speed limit, and if there's not somebody there to enforce that, then man just does what he wants. He becomes lawless. But because there are natural consequences, again, God can forgive somebody. God can save somebody who's done a horrific crime, but yet they still have to do their time, so to speak. They need to still have to face the consequences. So when we're dealing with this, and we start thinking about our choices, see, once we make a choice, then there's some that God is set into motion to deal with the consequences. Now, he can choose to bless us if we make good choices to serve him and do for him, or he can choose to punish us. Or there's negative consequences that, you know, has been set into place. Because the Bible does say in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And it goes on to say, you know, if we sow to ourselves evil, then we're going to reap what comes with that. And then if we sow to ourselves good, we're going to reap that. See, we're going to take a moment, and we're not going to take long, and look at some people who made wrong choices in the Old Testament. Because they're there for our learning, are they not? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. This is the first person in Genesis chapter 4 who chose to make a wrong decision. And he faced the consequences. Genesis chapter 4, we're speaking about Cain. There was Cain and Abel. Chapter 4 of Genesis. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, while he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So what happened here? Well, I truly believe that Adam taught his children properly. Because when they fell, there was coats of skin made for them. So therefore an innocent lamb had to die. So I believe that they were taught properly. And it says Abel was a keeper of the sheep. So he offered a blood sacrifice as God had requested. But Cain chose to offer or to bring the works of his own hands, what he brought forth from tilling the ground. Of course, God accepted Abel's offering because it was a blood offering. It says in the Bible, there's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And I'm paraphrasing it, okay? Or without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so God doesn't forgive us. There's no remission for sin if there's not the shedding of blood. That's why it was a bloody sacrifice. There are many who try to offer their works to enter into heaven, but the Bible is clear to what it says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It also tells us in Ephesians, not by works of righteousness, or that's a different verse. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I've looked at it so many times and I get it confused with other verses, but Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it's very clear what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God does not accept any works from man when it comes to our salvation. We can't save ourselves. If we were to offer God our works, we will come short of justification. We would fall short. It says in, I believe it's in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. No matter how good we think we are, It's not good enough for God's expectation. But Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, where it talks about Abraham, if we offer our faith, if we believe God, it says it is counted for righteousness. It's simple belief of who God is and what he's done. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We see that in Romans chapter 4. See, Cain chose his own works over faith. Now, we're sitting there thinking, well, that's not fair. But it says in verse 6, it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? This is where Cain's opportunity was to do what was right. The Lord tells him, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He had an opportunity to change his sacrifice. He had an opportunity to get a lamb and sacrifice it like God commanded. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So now he's committed murder. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he says, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. See, Cain had a choice to make. He had a choice to make and do what God had asked him to do, but he chose not to. So therefore, he suffered the consequences. And then it talks about him going on to be a vagabond in the earth, and that anybody would be, kill him, would it be, you know, seven times greater on them. But he chose his own works over faith. He made a choice. But then we go to Genesis chapter 19. We have another person that made a choice. Genesis 19. The Bible says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife chose disobedience over obedience. See, we have choices to make. We realize that the angels come to get Lot and his family out of Sodom. And let's go back to verse 15 of chapter 19. It says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. He just went earlier to his sons-in-laws there in verse 14, which married his daughters. So I believe Lot had four daughters. Okay, it doesn't say that, but he sons-in-laws, multiple. I'm thinking two, maybe more, but I'm assuming two. I believe he had four daughters. But he said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And when the morning arose, basically because Lot lived there and didn't see nothing wrong with what was going on, and now all of a sudden he's saying, hey, let's get up. We got to get out of here because God's telling us he's going to destroy this place. But they mocked him because he was there just as guilty as them. That's what happens when we allow our testimonies to be damaged. That's what happens when we allow things in our lives that we ought not to do. Because then when we go to try to witness to somebody and they've seen us involved in these things, they're going to say, well, you're no different than me. Why should I come to church? Why should I accept Christ? We got to guard our testimonies. What we do matters among everybody. Lot lost his testimony because they mocked him. But then it says in verse 15, it says, when the morning arose and the angels hasted Lot again, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when he had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight." He was pushing his luck here. "And now thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in the saving of my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one, and my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape hither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." What does that tell us? That God could not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot was gone. What's that say about us today, in today's world? That God's not going to show his wrath upon this world until the church is gone, until God's people is gone. That's what that says to me. Just like Enoch says he was and then he was not, and God took him. He never seen death. And it was because before the coming judgment, just like it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God protected him in that ark from the wrath of God on the rest of the world. He says, I cannot do anything till thou come hither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, and then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But what does verse 26 say? But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. It says in verse 17, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, and stay thou in all the plain, escape the mountain, lest thou be consumed." But what did she do? She looked back. Physically, Lot's wife was out of the city, but her heart was still there. She disobeyed God. Therefore, there's consequences. See, the wickedness of Sodom came up before the Lord, and he was going to destroy it. God had warned them to leave the city and what? Not look back. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, it says, "It is better to obey than sacrifice." God's interested in our obedience over anything else. If we're not living obediently, then we have nothing. We have to get right. He's only interested in our obedience. See, but Lot's wife left, like I said, left physically, and her heart was there, still there. Her disobedience resulted into turning to salt. It's always best to choose to obey rather than to disobey. I believe it was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. says, "Do right. Do right until the stars fall." We're always to do right. We have a choice to make. See, if we choose to disobey, then there's natural consequences that we have to face. It's always best for us to choose to obey than rather to face the consequence of disobedience. There's one last person I want to look at. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Another man we can take and look from his mistakes. We can look at his we've seen Cain, he chose his own works over faith. We've seen Lot's wife chose disobedience over obedience. Well, we see King David chose lust over purity. King David chose lust over purity. We see some of the first things we see here in 2 Samuel chapter 11 is the first thing is we see David tarried still at Jerusalem. It says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle." There's the problem right there. At the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. That's where he made his first choice. He chose to stay home when he should have been at battle with his men, his troops. But then we go on here, and we're going to look at the next three verses. And it came to pass in an evening time that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw, there's a choice, a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David sent, that's the second choice, or should I say the third choice, he chose to stay home. He says he saw, he sent, he inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? He knew she belonged to another man. He knew that she was married. But at this point, David didn't care. He made a choice. He chose lust over purity. David was trying to, he had his focus off of God, and he chose to sin with this woman. It says, and David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and they lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab and said, send me Uriah the Hittite. So David was still, he was making choices, wrong choices, because now he found out that she's pregnant. Now he's bringing, he has the power to do so because he's the king. He brings her husband home, trying to get her husband to lie with him. But he's a man of integrity. He's a man of character, and chooses, because his men are out in battle, he chooses to stay proper and of character. And he did not go down to see his wife. He did not go down to lie with her. So David now is forced to make another choice, in which he did by letter. He killed Uriah by somebody else's hand, but he was guilty of it. See how it starts when we start making wrong choices, how it's just like a waterfall? It's just like a waterfall. It goes down, 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 down. And it gets worse. He saw, he sent, he took. And then he murdered. Even though David repented and God forgave him, the sword never left his house. See, there are terrible consequences for our sin. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse 20. Chapter 18 and verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him, and in his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? See, God's desire, he tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it's not his desire, it's not his will that any should perish. God wants everybody to get right, but not everybody makes that choice. We see three different people in the scriptures here that made choices that affected other people. All of our choices, whether we believe it or not, whether they're good choices or bad choices, all of our choices affect others, whether directly or indirectly. Something else we can learn about sin, when it talks about all three of these people, sin will take you, and I've said this multiple times, this is not original with me, but I've heard it one time in a message, and I repeat it because it's true. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. You don't have a choice. Once you make to go down that road, it's going to take you farther than you want to go. It's going to keep you longer than you want to stay. Does it not? Once we go down that slippery slope, there's no turning back. And this is the one that gets all of us. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. it does every time. We could say, well, we just wanted to have a little fun. Well, that little fun turns into greater issues. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Ask David. Ask Lot's wife. Ask Cain. It cost them more than they wanted to pay. I mean, there's some good examples in the scripture, and we're not going to go into it tonight. Maybe we'll look at it next week. Some people that made good choices, like Ruth. She had a choice. When Naomi told her she can go back like her sister-in-law did, because she was a Moabite, and serve their gods, Ruth chose to serve the true and living God. So therefore, we know later on down the road that Boaz married Ruth, and that was the line of the coming Christ. She was in the line of Christ. We know another lady, when Joshua was going in to Jericho to defeat it, there was another lady that was mentioned in scriptures who was also in the line of Christ. And she wasn't a Jew either, and that's Rahab the harlot. She had a choice to make that day when she hid the... She risked her own life among those in Jericho to hide the spies. And what she was, what they asked her to do was put a scarlet thread where they could see it, and to bring all of her family into the house. And that was a picture of the blood. Just like in Egypt, when God sent the death angel through to get all of the firstborn. And what happened? They were supposed to put the blood on the doorpost. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That means that they were referring to the blood of Christ. And that's a couple ladies in Scripture. There's more than that, but they made right choices. They made the choices to serve God. The Bible says, flee fornication. Just because we think we love someone doesn't make immorality right. Okay? And I'm referring to David at this point. As we see through other people's lives, there are many choices we have to make on a daily basis. We have choices to make. Joshua posed it to the children of Israel to either serve God or go back and serve the other gods that their fathers did. But he made a choice that day. He was coming to the end of his life, and he had served God all of his life. He was one of the two spies that went into the land that believed they can go in and defeat all the giants and everything because he was focused on God. But he says in Joshua 24 and verse 15, he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are we going to come to the point in our lives to where we declare the same thing? Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then Elijah said there among them, how long halt ye between two opinions? See, we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice whether we're going to serve God or serve self. That's between you and the Lord. I can't live your life for you. I can't make your decisions for you. I can only make my decisions for myself. And that's what each one of us have to do. We have to make a choice. There's good choices and there are bad choices. Are we going to choose to serve the Lord, or are we going to choose not to? Just like everybody has a choice to either accept Christ or reject Him. We all have choices.